Toddrow Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Now, when he says finally, he's saying, I've said all that to say this: rejoice in the Lord. In the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, he said once again, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, I want to look at this passage of Scripture. I think this is one of the most significant passages in the New Testament. And I want us to look at the first 13 or 14 verses and see what Paul is saying when he says, rejoice in the Lord. And the first thing we have to understand is, who is this Lord we're called upon to rejoice in? Well, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who in the previous chapter it was said, he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father. Now, the only way you can be equal with God is to be God. Jesus Christ is not like God. He's not like God at all. He is God. In the first chapter, Paul, speaking of him, said, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is the one who, if you know him, the last day of your life will be the best day. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Paul says, rejoice, be glad in the Lord. As all of God's salvation is in Christ, and you're complete in him, rejoice in the Lord. Now, he also says in verse 1, to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now, the gospel has a limited body of truth. And if that body of truth is not preached, the gospel is not preached. It's the preaching of the same things. It's the repetition of the same truth. And the gospel is unlike any human composition in this sense. It's always new. The same things are always fresh, are always powerful. Now, you hear the same things of anything written by a mere human being, it's going to get old. It's going to get stale. It's going to become boring. It's going to become meaningless compared to what it once was to you, but not the gospel. Paul said to write the same things to me is not grievous. It's not irksome. I glory in these same things. And for you, it's safe. The only safe thing is to hear the continuous repetition of the gospel. Now, he goes on to say in verse 2, beware of dogs. Now, he's not talking about canines. He's talking about false prophets. It's the same beware the Lord gave when he said, beware of false prophets, and Paul calls them dogs. Beware of dogs. Isaiah called them greedy dogs and dumb dogs. And that would be a good description of someone that does not preach the gospel. Greed motivates them, and everything they say is contrary to the gospel. Beware of evil workers. They speak of good works, but what they are evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now here Paul invents a new word. He was talking about the circumcision. These people who boast in their circumcision and say, you need to be circumcised in order to please God. He comes up with a new word, the concision, the mutilators, the emasculators. They talk about circumcision, but all they do is cut people off. They are wrong all the way through. And then he says in verse 3, and this is such a significant verse, 4, we are the circumcision. We are the true circumcision. Now, to be physically circumcised is not to be spiritually circumcised. This is spiritual circumcision. This actually refers to the new birth. This refers to being born again. This refers to being regenerated. We are the circumcision, the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. He gives three marks. Here's what a truly circumcised person does. He worships God in the Spirit. He rejoices in Christ Jesus. And he has no confidence in the flesh. Now let's consider these three things. The truly circumcised person, true circumcision, this is the circumcision made without hands. The truly circumcised person, first of all, worships God in the Spirit. Now, you worship God for who He is. You worship Him as He reveals Himself in His Word. You worship Him in His holiness. You worship Him in His sovereignty. You worship Him in His immutability. You worship Him in His omnipotence. You worship Him in His independence. Everything God reveals with regard to Himself, you worship Him, and you worship Him for who He is. Not for what you can get out of Him. Not for what you can benefit from Him. But you worship Him for who He is. As He's revealed in His Word. And when you worship Him for who He is, there's only one way it's done, in the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can enable one to truly worship God. Now, when I'm preaching to you, I would love for you to come out and visit the church which I pastor, Todd's Road Grace Church. You're welcome. We'd love to have you to hear the gospel. Just be thrilled if you would come. But let me say this. I don't say, come and worship with us. I never say that. Because you can't worship unless God gives you a new heart to worship. Now, if you've been given a heart to worship, you can come and worship with us. But I don't say, come worship with us to a mixed crowd, because I don't know whether you can worship or not. The only people who truly worship God are people who worship Him in the Spirit. God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and in truth. God is not worshipped according to error, but only according to the truth of His Word. Now, Paul says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. And here's what that looks like. He says, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. What does it look like to worship God in the Spirit? That means you rejoice. And the word rejoice here is a different word than the word used in verse 1 when he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." In verse 1, it means be happy in the Lord, be glad in the Lord, exalt in the Lord. But here, the word means to glory in, to boast in, to have confidence in. If you worship God in the Spirit, you have confidence only in Christ Jesus. Paul said it like this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." The only thing I have confidence in is who Jesus Christ is and what He accomplished on Calvary's tree. I don't look to myself, anything I do. I look to Him only. I rejoice, I have confidence only in who He is and what He did. That's all there is going to bring me into God's presence and be accepted. Who He is and what He did. That is the gospel. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now let me tell you something that everyone who rejoices in Christ Jesus does. He says we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, by the flesh, he means everything that is not of the Spirit of God. My fleshly ability, my fleshly will, my fleshly experience, my fleshly intellect. I don't have any confidence in anything that has anything to do with me. I have no confidence in my flesh. I have no confidence in your flesh. Now, here is the true circumcision. They worship God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul goes on to expound on what he meant by having no confidence in the flesh. And when he said that, I have no confidence in my former religious experience. Now, many people, when they're looking for assurance that they're saved, they look back to some kind of experience they had. Well, I must be saved because I remember when I went down to the front of the church and I received Christ as my personal Savior. I remember when I did that, I must be saved. Now, that's not looking to Christ. That's looking to the flesh. That's looking to your own experience. Now, hear what Paul says. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I've got more than him." Here's why. Paul says, "I was circumcised the eighth day, as prescribed by the law, of the stock of Israel. I was a full, or I am a full-blooded Jew, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews." I'm not merely a Hebrew, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. "As touching the law, I was a Pharisee." Now, we see Pharisees quite often in the New Testament. It was the strictest denomination of Judaism. It was man-made. It's not found in the Old Testament. The Pharisees didn't arise until about 150 years before the birth of Christ. It was a man-made denomination, no different really than being a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or a Methodist or any other man-made denomination. That's all they are. You can't support denominations in the Scripture. And he was a Pharisee, and it means a separated one. Now, he said, "Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church." I believed I was right. And I felt that my moral obligation to persecute anybody that didn't believe the way I did. Listen to this next thing he says. "Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless." I really believed that I had kept the Ten Commandments. Like the rich young ruler, "All these have I kept from my youth up." That's what I believed about myself. Now that was his religious resume. That was his experience. But, he says in verse 7, "What things were gain to me, I thought these to be in the plus column. I thought these things to be to my advantage, that I was a Pharisee, that I was zealous, that I kept the law, I thought these things were to my advantage. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I all of a sudden could see clearly that not only were these things not to my advantage, they were positively harmful. Loss. Garbage. Have you ever looked at your past religious experience and seen it was nothing more than garbage? Paul did. He says in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, my religious heritage, the things that I was trusting in, and here's what I consider those things to be that I've lost. I do count them but dung." Excrement. That's how he viewed those things. Dung. "That I may win Christ and be found in Him." Now this is the only experience Paul wanted, and it's the only experience any believer wants. When God comes looking for me, there's one place I want Him to see me in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all God sees when He sees me is Jesus Christ. I do not want Him to see anything else. I don't want Him to see my preaching. I don't want Him to see my prayer life. I don't want Him to see my Bible reading. I don't want Him to see my witnessing. I don't want Him to see the good things I do. I don't want Him to see the bad things I do. I don't want Him to see anything but Jesus Christ. Here's what that means. I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. I do not want to have anything to do with my own righteousness. I love what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 64, 6. He said, "Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Now that's what Paul considered his own righteousness to be, his own former religion. He said, "I don't want to have anything to do with my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is according to my obedience to something, but that which is through the faith of Christ." The faithfulness of Christ. The obedience of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, here's what Paul wanted, and here's what every believer wants. I don't want to have anything to do with my standing before God based upon anything that I've done or thought or intended to do. I don't want to stand before God in my own righteousness. I want to have nothing less than the very righteousness of God, the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now somebody says, how can you have that? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now, on Calvary's tree, Christ was made sin. He became guilty. The sins of the elect became His sins. When He drank of that cup in Gethsemane's garden, He was drinking the cup of His people's sins. He was made sin. And that perfect righteousness that He worked out, the righteousness of God, is given to every single believer. And that's why I'm justified. That's why I can look at judgment and not be afraid. If I thought my standing on Judgment Day had anything to do with my personal obedience, I'd be scared to death. But I have nothing less than the righteousness of God. It's called justification. A perfect just standing before God's holy law. But look what Paul goes on to say. He says in verse 10, that I might know Him. Not only do I not want to stand in my own righteousness and stand in the righteousness of God, I want to know Him. I don't simply want to know things about Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him to this extent, He knows me. When He hears my cry, He hears the cry of one who knows Him. I don't want to use His name by way of name dropping. I want to use His name as one whom He knows. And He would recognize me as one of His. Oh, I want to know Him. I don't want to simply know things about Him. I want to know Him. And then Paul says in verse 10, not only do I want to be found in Him, not only do I want to know Him, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean I want more power in my life and more victory over sin and more ability to walk in a way that would be pleasing to Him? I wouldn't say he does not mean those things, but he does not mean that. When he's talking about knowing the power of His resurrection, here is the power of His resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. Here is the power of His resurrection. When He was raised from the dead, God looked at me. He looked at everybody He represented and said, I am completely satisfied with that person. They can't be any more pleasing. They can't be any more accepted. They can't be any more righteous. They can't be any more holy than they are because of His resurrection. He put away their sins. He was raised again for their resurrection. Now that's power. I want to know the power of His resurrection that makes the thrice holy God actually satisfied with me, pleased with me, where He could say, I can ask for no more out of Him. Now that is power. And not only do I want to know the power of His resurrection, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. What's that mean? I want to know that what He did for me. You see, I don't believe for a second, nor does the Bible teach, that what He did for everybody without exception. He didn't die for all men without exception. If He did all men without exception, He'd be saved. He died for His sheep. He died for His elect. Now, I want to know that I'm one of them. I want to know that what He did for me. I want to be able to say with Paul, speaking of Christ, the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, if He loved me and gave Himself for me, I'm saved. I can't get any more saved. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. So I want to know that I had a share in what He did. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Then Paul said, being made conformable unto His death. Now notice the language. Not make myself conformable, but being made conformable. The only way I can be made conformable unto His death, if He makes me conformable to His death, and that is what I desire. Well, what's that mean? He became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, the greatest act of obedience. And I want to be made conformable to His death. If by any means, Paul says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now he's talking about the believer's resurrection. Everybody's going to be resurrected. The Lord said, some to righteousness, some to condemnation. I want to be raised to no longer be a sinner, to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ, to not even remember what it's like to be a sinner. That's what I desire. Paul puts it so clearly. He said, I want to be found in Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead and be just like Christ in my resurrection. Now, it's not as though I'd already attained, Paul said in verse 12. I'm not there yet. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He arrested me. He laid hold upon me, and I want to lay hold upon Him. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Paul was a man of one thing. This one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. The good things, the bad things, forget them. And reaching forth unto those things which are before the Lord Jesus, glory, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the past. Forget your religious experience. Forget the bad things, the injustices that have been done to you. By the grace of God, forget them. They're all a part of God's purpose. Forget the good things. Don't try to find any hope in the good things. Forget the past and reach forth to the things that are before the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that is in Him. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't miss that term, in Christ Jesus. All of God's favor, all of God's blessing, all of God's grace, all of God's mercy, all of God's forgiveness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul began this statement by saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD, or if you look at the church website, you can get a copy of it there. We'll send you a copy if you write or call. This is Todd Niebuhr, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.